I gotta go back a little bit here, because I, as I said, when I first came into this program, I had no thought of powerlessness. I definitely didn't believe in powers greater than myself. None of them was God. And the third step is one I wasn't willing to take. It's really that simple. And that was how I felt when I came out of treatment. Through my journeys, and I'll say I've taken many journeys through these steps, not just one, and many journeys through the big book in the 12 and 12 through loving guidance of loving sponsors and AWOL groups and step meetings and all kinds of different ways I've continued to go back and revisit steps, I like to say. And when, through one of those journeys, I came up with something that they used to do many years ago that they used to call beginners meetings. They don't do them down here in Florida, not very often that I know of, but they do them up in Washington, and as a regular part of it, and at the very beginning, they used to have 1 hour classes, and you did all 12 steps before you're allowed to go in AA meeting, way back in the late 40s and early 50s. And step three, as described in the Back to Basics book, which is not AA literature, you made a decision to turn our will and eyes over to care of God. The steps is described on pages 60 through 63. And the direction, and I've been reading the directions of taking these steps, but taking step three is on page 63. Let me get there. You know, I'm not there at the moment. And the it's in paragraph two, and it's lines 1 through 8. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, that's the third step prayer. And what it says is, we are now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we now understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help them. Thy power, thy love, thy way of life, may I do thy will always. As it said, we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at least abandon ourselves utterly onto him. And that is direction in the old days of how they did the third step. Prior to the printing of the big book, the original format, the original manuscript of the big book, this is how it works. And I really like to read this because this is how I got how it works, even though I heard it at every meeting. Bob, who is my spiritual guide, I would like to call him, and my sponsor later on, always kept me back to early history because that's the way he was. And he pointed this out to me a few times, because a few times he's taken my big book and thrown it in the garbage because I wasn't utterly convinced, as they say. And I'll tell you where that came from, because it took me about 4 or 5 months before I realized what my head was starting to flare up a little bit. And it says, chapter 5, and originally it was on page 26 in the original big book. It says, really have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our direction? Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not a fool. They seem to have been born that way. They're naturally incapable of grasping and developing a way of life which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our story is disclosed in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided that you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to follow directions. At some of these, you may balk. You may think you can find an easier, softer way. We doubt if you can. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil, so we let go absolutely. Remember that you are dealing with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for you. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. You must find him now. Half measures will avail you nothing. You stand at a turning point. Throw yourself utterly to his protection and care with complete abandon. Now we think you can take it.
here are the steps we took, which are suggested as your program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. There was no we on that, by the way. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol. That our lives became unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care and direction of God as we understood Him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted God to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely willing to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly on our knees, asked Him to remove our shortcomings, holding nothing back. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make complete amends to them all. Continue to take personal inventory. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory when we're wrong, promptly admit it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carrying that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of this course of action, we try to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. That's still the same 12 steps that Al-Anon uses, by the way. You may exclaim, what an order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is we are willing to go along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. A description to the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after have been designed to sell you on three pertinent ideas. That you were alcoholic and you could not manage your own life. That probably no human power can relieve your alcoholism. That God can and will. If you are not convinced of these vital issues, you ought to reread the book to this point, or else throw it away. So, with that in mind, the ABCs we always talk about as step 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to go back a little bit further because that's not how I got that you're alcoholic and you couldn't manage your own life, that no problem, probably no human power could relieve your alcoholism, that God couldn't, would if He was sought. They used to say that's ABC, step 1, 2, and 3. I got it a little differently. I got it kind of like the Oxford group got it. I was told that it's admittance for A, that I could not manage my own life, and that I was powerless over alcohol, that probably no human power could relieve my alcoholism, my acceptance, and 3 is the word that I didn't like. That was called conversion. That was called change. That God could and would if He was sore. And that's why step 3 to this alcoholic is a very special step, because I was not convinced of those vital issues when I went to do my 3rd step. I still believed in, again, I was told that the only requirement for membership, and I'm going to bring in that 3rd tradition, because that's part of my 3rd step, was a desire not to drink. Well, I really believed I never had a desire to drink. I still had a desire to get high, use pills and drugs or anything else I could, but drinking was never the problem. The problem was my ex-wife, the children, the job. It was everything but alcohol and drugs. The process I went through is sitting in these rooms. The first power greater than myself was the group of drunks. Although I wouldn't say that, I wouldn't admit it. I still was not admitting that you guys would, if I wanted anything you had. I really didn't believe you guys were sober. I used to follow a couple of the old times around to Denny's over in Deerfield, because I used to think after the meeting they were going to have to get a drink and I was going to catch them. I still was delusionary when I first got here. I think one of the biggest things that happened, I didn't do my 3rd step until I was almost 6 months into sobriety, 5 months to be exact. And what had happened was I won a scholarship from a men's group I went to go on a spiritual retreat. I'll never forget. They said, you've been elected. We've decided that you've won a scholarship and you're going on a spiritual weekend. At the same time, I was in the middle of saying the 3rd step prayer. I still wouldn't get on my knees. Because the way I was brought up, it was against everything I believed in my religious upbringing. And my sponsor was going out of town, and he refused to do a 3rd step with me. This was around the end of May of 94. I can even tell you the day I did my first step. It was 4th of July, and I can tell you where and how it was done. It's probably one of the most exciting and rememberable experiences I've ever had.
for a lot of reasons. And that's pretty much what my journey, my third step was, because, again, the decision I made was not to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, because I still didn't have one, or one that I trusted or believed in. There's a part in the book that I always like to say. It says, we all travel innumerable paths to get here. There's a part in the big book that says, either God is everything or God is nothing. What is your choice to be? In my life, God still is nothing. And I was sitting in these rooms. I knew I couldn't drink, but I didn't think that I wanted what you guys still had. But I was still coming to meetings. I still had the sponsor. I was still being defiant. I was still being walking and squawking and being rebellious. And my sponsor was going out of town, and Bob wasn't my sponsor at that time. He was my best friend. He was my dad that I never had at that point. He wasn't my sponsor either. And what had happened was my sponsor, Larry Stewart, who I'm still in touch with, he's out in Arizona now, he was going away for a weekend, and when I first got sober, and I don't believe in men's meeting, I don't believe in AA, I don't believe in women's meeting, it's just the way I was brought into this program, that any special interest group is not an AA meeting, because if somebody needs us, we're supposed to open the door. And I've seen a lot of men's meetings not open the door for women, and a lot of women's meetings not open the door for men. And I was told that's no longer an AA meeting. But there are special interest meetings, but if somebody needs us, we're supposed to open the door. The desire not to drink is all we need. And I used to have a bone to pick, because when I very first got sober, I needed a meeting, and I didn't know the difference. We're very grateful to someone who has many years in this program, my AA mom, because I walked to a 7 o'clock women's meeting, and she sat outside for an hour and a half and spoke to me. Well, wouldn't let me go in the room for the meeting, but explained to me why, because there wasn't enough women's meetings, and that she spent an hour talking to me and got me to an 8:30 meeting. And I was really newly sobered, and she said, she says, men's meetings, special interest meetings are not really AA, but they're all for special interest purposes. Today I know there are nurses' meetings and airline stewards' meetings for the airline pilots and doctors' meetings, and there's a reason for the anonymity. At that time, I was annoyed at AA. You know, it's a growing process we go through, I guess. But going back to Larry, he made me join a men's meeting. And I really didn't want to go to that meeting. But I went anyway, because they told me if I wanted him to sponsor, if I wanted him to be my sponsor, I had to go to that meeting. There was a guy by the name of John M. there, and he was an old AA-er, very strict. And the top of my big book in here, it says on how it works in the big book, exactly what it says is, do not forget, I repeat, do not forget, this is how it works. Simple, right? Your friend John. And that's just how it works. He said, but there's a whole lot before it and there's a whole lot after it, and I better not forget that part of it. I sat there, and Larry was going away, and he says, I want you to call somebody for the next 2 weeks while I'm out of town. I says, well, who do you want me to call? He says, I want you to call somebody from the Boca Men's group. That's the group it was. I said, well, I wanted to call my friend Billy Began, because I like Billy. And he said, no, I want you to call John. I said, I'll call anybody but him. He said, that's who I had to call. Typical good sponsor, make me do what I didn't want to do in spite of myself. And I started calling John. I was afraid he was going to yell, because he always was one of those guys that sat in a room and screamed at everybody and told them that they weren't getting it, and he would yell a lot. He scared me. And we became really good friends. And I was still having this get on my knee problem, because, like I said, I wouldn't do it. And he made it real simple for me. And he said to me, George, did you not sit over a toilet bowl and hang on for dear life? Were you not on your knees for that? And I said, yeah. And he says, when you looked for the rug for that thing you did, and you started picking through the fibers, were you not on your knees for that? I said, yeah. And he said, well, then do you have no respect for my God, or the God that you might learn to understand? And I still didn't want to get on my knees, but he told me to try it for a week, and I did. And I did it. I still have a problem with the get on the knees thing, because I believe today prayer is not about position, it's about petition. And that took me a long time to get comfortable within my own skin. It wouldn't work for me, not because of my religious faith. I'm just not comfortable with it. I had knee surgeries, I had leg surgeries, and those are things that just don't let me get down on my knees. I do find a quiet corner. I do have my own little place where I speak with my God, although I speak to my God all the time, I speak with him constantly. Sometimes I'll just turn around in the middle of the road and say, okay, I need your help here, help. And I'm not afraid to say that. God is wherever I am. I had someone else used to tell me that if I walk in a room and I can't bring God with me, I don't belong in that room. And I had a problem with that thing called God. Well, I did those things. I did get on my knees. I did the prayers. I was doing the third step prayer. I was just not comfortable. And I wasn't willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. So I sat down with Larry when he came back. In the meantime, my mother went into the hospital. I thought she was going to die. At that time, she had another major heart attack. My children, I walked out of an AA meeting and I was given papers to give up my children legally. I wanted to drink, but I didn't drink in spite of that. I was not turning my... I had no God. I mean, if there was a God, he sure as hell wasn't going to do what he was doing to me now. That's my warped perception working on me. And I was told by my sponsor, I said, Larry, what do I do? You know, my kids, like this. He said, well, I can't help you with your kids. I have no kids. I'm single. Go in the rooms and find out some people who stayed sober. What they did not pick up a drink and had to give their kids up. And I found many people in these rooms that had to do that. Some of them got restitution and some of them didn't. But that's for later steps. But I found people in these rooms that had to go through that process. And they didn't drink. So if they didn't drink, I didn't have to drink. When I spoke to John about that, because John eventually became my sponsor, showed you how God works, Larry moved to Arizona. I was his sponsor and he became my sponsor and we became good friends. He's now in Connecticut and then Bob moved back in my life, back from Pensacola. But it was the sponsorship that really got me through my third step. The group of drunks really wasn't helping me with this one because it was so diversified, and when I heard people talk about their higher power by name, I got very turned off, no matter what that name was. No matter when it got to that religiosity, it really got to me real bad. And I wouldn't see where religious people were right, and I was still having that battle within myself. So I wanted to do a third step, and he said, well, we got to see how your mother's coming, we got to see how this is going. Anyway, I went to this spiritual retreat, and it was all about God, and it was about a God that I was not grown up with, and was very uncomfortable, but it was very rewarding. Because I got to talk to people and I got to see different perspectives. And that closed mind started to wedge open. And I had a willingness to at least sit down with my sponsor and discuss the third step. The date was July 4th, 1994. We sat and we read the 12 and 12 and we went through the big book. And he asked me if I was willing to turn my life over to the care of God. And I said no. So we talked. He said, let me ask you a different question now. Are you willing to turn your care and your life over to these steps? To the protection and guidance of the 12 steps. He said, yes. He says, if you make that persistent try, that's all you need. And my third step was not to die. Although I have a God today, somewhere between 4 and 12, I found a God that you people introduced me to, although I wasn't wanting that introduction when it was given to me. I kind of fought it kind of hard, and I'm still being rebellious. I don't pick on anybody's God today. I don't try and influence my God on anybody I sponsor. I don't even care what their God is, as long as they have one and it's not themselves. It's real simple for me. And then if they're willing to do the rest of the steps, they will find an understanding of a God that has been wonderful. At least my God has been wonderful. The end of the story is with my children and getting introduced to God in the third step is that with my children, somewhere along the line, I didn't drink over the knee, having to legally sign them over, which took a year and a lot of puking in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I didn't drink. And I made a decision that was best for my children. Whether it was a good decision or a bad decision, but the information I had at the time was the best one I could make. I don't regret that decision today. I kind of would like to have them in my life, but that hasn't worked out yet. My mother, I had to live, got to live for another 2 years after I did my third step. I was able to be there at the end for her and give her 5 years of sobriety. Composure, I lose it once in a while. Gave her 5 years of sobriety, and because of my sponsor dying of cancer and then me being able to go through that transformation with him and bringing it over to my mother, and then 2 years ago I was a friend in this program, 38 years old, who died of cancer, high stepping, who died of cancer, and God made me well enough to be able to do those things. Had I been drinking and drugging, and this is why I talk about the third step the way I do, like I was when I first got here, the care of my children, I really wouldn't have really mattered because I wasn't really good custodian. I'd leave them home and go get drunk, or I'd take them in the car and take them to crack hotels with me. Really didn't matter. That's what I did, and that's the way I treated them. The things I swore I'd never be as a father, that my father was never around. He wasn't around because he worked. I wasn't around because I just wasn't emotionally available. Those steps gave me those kind of responsibilities today, to be around, be emotionally available. to be the parent I couldn't be. And unfortunately, I can't do it to my own children. One of the things I was taught to do in these rooms through that third step was to go over and to children in the rooms when the woman comes in with the baby and to babysit, because I can always make another meeting, but that may be the only meeting that woman can make. And to give the dignity and respect to children in the room, to be the father I couldn't be when I was active. It's a hard process sometimes, a painful process. But there is a God, and he's very loving to me. He's given me wonderful gifts in sobriety. He's given me loving relationships that I never knew was capable of having when I was out here. The third step to me is something that says that it's practicing. And I practice the third step every day. I practice the first step every day. I got to start with that first step. I have to surrender. There's a prayer that they used to call the Charlie prayer in the old days. God help me. And this guy named Charlie who did it with Bill and Bob, and that's why they call it the Charlie prayer. Take away my desire to drink. For me, it's take a few other things besides my desire to drink. It's not the drug. To be the best person I can be. I ask God for that guidance in the morning in my first step. I surrender in the morning. Whether on my knees or not on my knees, it really doesn't matter. The fact is that I talk to God. My first contact with God is, good morning, God, thank you for letting me wake up. So I'm practicing the 11th step while I'm learning my third step. I do say the third step prayer every day. I was just going through some papers last night, and I said, it's amazing. I found a sheet of paper, yellow paper. That one of my journeys talks about the number of times faith is mentioned, and God is mentioned, and a whole bunch of other things. And I hadn't seen that paper in a bunch of years since Bob died. And cleaning up some stuff with, and he came up and said, God, we talked about the number of prayers there are in the 12 steps. There's a minimum of one prayer for every step, and the fourth step I'll read for you four of them. There are 28 prayers in the first 164 pages of the 12 steps. Now, you guys can figure out where they are. I have the pages. If anybody wants them, we'll bring them at another time. We can go through them, but there are 28 prayers in the 12 steps, and I swore I did not have a prayer. Asking God is a prayer. Help was my first one. Thank you was the end of the day, and a lot of things have happened since then. My contact with God has changed, and it's changed through doing the steps. My third step is the remainder of the steps, and that was my commitment. And I did them with the same man. I finished all 12. And that's the grace of God, and that's how it rained on me. So that's enough out of me for today. It's your meeting.